Now, I'm coming to the Kitab, Anwarus Salah. Yesterday we had discussed various aspects, and we mentioned that whatever we find in deen, any act that is in deen, all this is for our benefit. And all the ahkamat of shariat, such as fasting also, we last discussed that fasting also, it is to our benefit, it is for our health. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala keeps a person healthy for the entire year, a person that fasts just for the 1 month, the Mubarak month of Ramadan. However, as many a time mentioned, he says that we're supposed to get maximum benefit from fasting. And he says that at the time of iftar, we normally break our roza with what? With khajur, dates. And he says fruits are very healthy. And the best from all fruits is the date. And from amongst date, the best date, the king of all dates is ajwa. So a person that breaks his roza with ajwa and water, or just dates and water, he is getting the maximum benefit. But many a times we spoil this. When a person, he breaks his fast, he breaks his roza with all fried foods. Now all the benefit that a person got from the entire day, all that he loses by eating fatty foods, fried foods, etc. Allah Ta'ala give us the understanding. So the solution to all our problems is in deen. But unfortunately today we are looking for these solutions by the kuffar. I will give an example. He says one person, he had a gold coin. So this person, he lived in a small tin shanty, in a shack. What we say in a shack. So, one day he lost his gold coin. So, when he lost his gold coin, in that shack he didn't have any light. So, he went outside and he started looking for his gold coin under the street lamp, under the street light. So, one friend was passing by and he said, what's wrong? So, he said, no, I lost my gold coin. So, he said, let me help you, let me start looking. So, that was the only asset that he had. So, he's helped him now, they're looking for the gold coin. So, after a little while, he said, there's nothing here. But where did you lose the coin? So he said, no, I lost it in my house, inside the shack. So he said, but why are you looking for it here outside? He said, because inside there's no light. So that's why I came to look for it outside. So he can look for it till the cows go home. But he's not going to find it outside. Go and look for it where you lost it. Just move your hand around on the floor. You will pick that gold coin up. So this is our situation. That today we are looking for solution in the way of the kuffar. Whereas all the solutions, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given it to us. The Muslim Ummah, we have got the solution. Another example that our Hazrat gives many a time, he says that one person, he was traveling, going out into the jungle, into the desert, and he needed water. So he looked in the distance, he sees a mirage, like water. In the distance, you can see water. But when he goes there, in reality, there's no water there. He'll see the mirage further and further. He never gets to water. So he says, in this way, a person can continue and continue, but he'll never get to his destination. He won't get the water. What is he required to do? Just go back. Go to the town. And when you go to the town, open the tap and you're going to get water over there. So we also, we're looking for all our solutions by the kuffar in all these seminars. And there we pay so much of money for all these seminars, etc. that we go for. And we listen to them and we're looking for solution in their way. Whereas the solution is in deen. And the solution that has been given to us, 100% free of charge. Just follow the teachings of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We need to go 1400 years back. We have to go back to the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in there is the solution to our problems. Hazrat Malik bin Asja'i radiallahu ta'ala, Sahabi in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his son was kidnapped, and he came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, my son has been kidnapped. What should we do? Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam said, just read, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So immediately the prescription was given that read, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. They acted upon the advice. And what was the effect of it? In a few days' time, that his son got the opportunity to free himself. And not only did he free himself, but when he left, all the animals that belonged to these kidnappers, he brought all these animals along also with him, and he came back home. So see, a simple prescription, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, and the work was done. Four different people, they came once for Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayh. They told Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayh, one person said, that in our area, there is drought, there is no food, no rain in our area. So Hassan Basir rahmatullah said, make a lot of istighfar. Today also ulama are saying that under the current situation, make istighfar, turn to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he said, make a lot of istighfar. Then that person went away, another person came, he said that no money, that what we'll say, that the business has dropped, no money at home. Today also people are going through similar situations. So Hassan Basri rahmatullah told him also, you also make istighfar. Then the third person came. So the third person, he said that he doesn't have children. He wants children. Hassan Basri rahmatullah said, you also make istighfar. And the fourth person, he came, he says that our farm, that used to produce crops, etc. Now he's not producing like before. So Hasan Basri Rahmatullahi told him also, make istighfar. So one person was sitting there, so he told Hasan Basri Rahmatullahi, he said, see, four people came and they came with four problems. But you only gave one prescription, all of them, istighfar, istighfar, istighfar. So he said, the prescription I gave from Quran Sharif, يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكِ اسْتَغْفِرُ رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. Make istighfar, seek forgiveness from your Rabb, Allah Ta'ala is most forgiving. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. Allah Ta'ala will send rain upon you in torrents, in great abundance Allah Ta'ala will send rain upon you. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ. So see, the first person, his solution was there. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ. The other person, he didn't have money. Allah Ta'ala will increase you in your wealth. وَبَنِينَ. And Allah will increase in your children. The third person didn't have children. So I told him, make istighfar, Allah will give you children. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالِ وَبَنِينَ. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. And the fourth person came, he said that the orchard does not produce crops, a fruit anymore. So there I said that, make istighfar, Allah Ta'ala has promised that He will give you gardens and Allah Ta'ala will give you rivers. So see, the solution of the problem was in istighfar. When a person recites it, a person that holds on to it, through this, a person can become mustajabu da'wat. Just by continuous istighfar, person will become mustajabu da'wat. Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi, on one occasion, he ended up in one particular place, and he spent the night there. So the person, it was a baker, I think, he came to his place. So he spent time the one night with this particular baker, and this baker, all the time, he was reading all the time. So then Imam Ahmad rahmatullah asked him that, what you reading? So he says, no, I make istighfar. All the time I make istighfar. So somehow in the conversation, he said that he had one desire. And that desire, that dua was that he wanted to meet Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah. So see, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, through the barakat of istighfar, Allah ta'ala brought Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah to him. He got the opportunity of meeting him. So this istighfar, when we talk about istighfar, now, who doesn't know about istighfar? Everyone knows about istighfar. Leave the story now. Bring something else. Bring something new. But the solution of the problem is in this. As the Shaykh Rahmatullahi was explained, as the Shaykh Rahmatullahi would say, that recite excessive Durood Sharif. That the solution to our problems is in excessive recitation of Durood Sharif. Now also, Haji Ahmed Nakhud Asaf, Damat Barakatum, he also said, Durood Tunjina, 70 times, recite it daily. Recite 500 times, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There's a solution to all our problems. But all this is too simple for us. As it mentioned to us, he said that one person, he was on deen, and his family, they were a bit away from deen. His daughters, they were away from deen. So they went out to work. So after working, then they brought a television. They bought a TV, and they came to the house. So when the father came, now there was a big problem between the daughters and the father. So they told the father, if you're not happy, you leave. You leave the house and you go. And whatever money of inheritance we're supposed to get from you, that you get after a man passes away, he's living. They say, what we're supposed to get from you, that money you must give us now. So he went to Hazrat Ji, Hazrat Maulana Inamul Hasan Sahib rahmatullahi. So Hazrat Ji told him that, see, all you do, just make talim every day. Tell them that you can have the entire day, but 10 minutes, approximately 10 minutes or so, you give me for talim. So they agreed. They say it's a bargain. At least we can do what we want. Give him the 10 minutes for talim. So they gave him that time for talim. So he started making talim in the house. A couple of weeks later, he came one day, all the TV and everything is thrown out. So this simple thing now, which is so simple, reciting a few ahadith of Rasulullah ﷺ in our home, for us it is too trivial. But how great it is, how it brings that rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. Today the problem that we got is our gunas, is our sins. And all we need, we have been distant from the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. Bring the rahmat, we need to bring that rahmat of Allah Ta'ala back into our homes. Durood Sharif will bring the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. Kitab reading will bring the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. Istighfar, we make tawbah to Allah Ta'ala, the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala will come back. When the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala has come back, all our problems are solved. So when our mashayikh prescribe to us that we must do certain things, then do it. We shouldn't now start using our logic and start objecting. What they say we must do, we must do it. As it mentioned also, Maulana Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, one person, his son, was in Aligarh Muslim University. So he was studying there, and he was getting further and further away from deen. He was becoming like an atheist. Don't believe in Allah Ta'ala. So the father was worried. So he came to his sheikh, Maulana Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi. So he told Maulana Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, Hazrat, this is the situation. My son is getting further and further away from deen. So what must do? So now Maulana Thanvi rahmatullahi was a sheikh. And what a sheikh also. So So he told him, take him out from the Muslim university and put him in the Banaras Hindu university. Now we'll say, the man is in problem. And now you want to put him in a deeper problem. Take him out from the Muslim university, put him in the Hindu university. But he was a follower of Mullah Thanvi Rahman. My Sheikh prescribed, this is what I must do. So he did it. He took him out and he put him in the Hindu university. And a few days later, or after a short period of time, everything was now sorted out. His son, his iman became much more stronger. So his work was done. So then he went to Mullah Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. He told Mullah Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, he said, Hazrat, that I don't understand this. What you told me to do, I have done. The result of it, the consequence of it, also I have seen. But I don't understand this, that we took him out of the Muslim university, we put him in the Hindu university. How come he excelled over here? How is it that his iman got protected over here? So Mullah Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, he said that in the Muslim university, they were all Muslims. So everything they took for granted over there. But when he came here, now these people, the kuffar, the Hindus, they attack you. They attack your iman. They attack your aqaid, your beliefs. So you need to defend them all the time. So here when he was defending his aqaid, he was defending his fundamental beliefs, this strengthened his iman, made him firm upon iman. But see what he did, he didn't know all this. Whatever my sheikh said, he immediately acted upon it. So this is what is required in this time also, that when our mashayikh prescribe, when our seniors prescribe something, whoever we are following, then follow that. Don't object to it. And see, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will put barakat in that, and our problems will be solved in that. Coming back to the kitab, he writes, he said, Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala farmate hai ki ek maltaba Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ne aasman ki taraf nigaah uthai. Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala says, on one occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam raised his gaze towards the heavens. Aur yeh irshad farmaya, and he said, ki is waqt ilm ke dunya se ut jane ka waqt munkashif hua hai. The time has come now that knowledge is going to be taken away from the dunya. There won't be knowledge in the dunya. Hazrat Ziyad radiallahu ta'ala sahabi ne arz kiya, Ya Rasulullah, ilm hum se kis tarah ujh jayega? Hazrat Ziyad radiallahu ta'ala, a sahabi, he said, Ya Rasulullah, how is knowledge going to be taken away from us? Knowledge is going to be lifted away from us. Hum log Quran Sharif parte hai, aur apne aulaad ko parhate hai. We read Quran Sharif. And the same Quran Sharif we teach it to our children also. Aur wo isi tarah apni aulaad ko parhayenge, aur silsila chalta rahega. Our children, they'll teach their children. And this will continue. Their children will teach their children. And in this way, it will continue. So how is it that knowledge is going to be taken away from us? Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ne farmaya, main to tujhe bara samajdar khiyal karta tha. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Ziyad, that I thought you're a very intelligent person. You're an understanding person. Ye Yahud wa Nasara bhi ta Tawrat Injil parte parhate hai. That the Jews, the Christians, they also read the scriptures. The Jews, they read the Torah and they teach it to the children. The Christians, they read the Injil and they teach it to their children. Phir kya kar amad hua? Then what was of benefit to them? That nothing remained of them also. So the outward knowledge will remain. But the reality, that won't remain in deen. The practice won't remain in deen. In the hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned, سَيَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ zaman. Soon a time will come upon the people. لَا يَبْقَى مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ إِلَّا إِسْمُهُ. That nothing will remain of Islam, only the name of Islam. Today, the name of Islam is all over. The name of Islam. But people want to see the real Islam, that Islam that has ruh, that has life in it. لَا يَبْقَى مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ إِلَّا إِسْمُهُ. وَلَا مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ إِلَّا رَسْمُهُ. And nothing will remain of the Quran. Just the writing of the Quran will remain. Today, where is the Quran in the lives of the Muslims? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, مَسَاجِدُهُمْ عَامِرَةٌ وَهِيَ خَرَابٌ مِّنَ الْهُدَىٰ. The masajid will be full to capacity. When you go today for the Jumu'ah Salah, many places, no place in the masjid. They have to read namaz on the outside. So, مَسَاجِدُهُمْ عَامِرَةٌ. But it will be void of hidayat, it will be void of guidance. So the ruh, the spirit, this is what is required. That is a true mu'min. When we got the spirit of deen in us, today qurbani, we are all making qurbani. But what is qurbani? Today qurbani, you just phone the farmer, tell the farmer, you know what, I want this animal, I want this animal, so many animals I want. You order it today over the phone. A person is ordering his animals over the phone. He's buying his animal. Now he buys his animal over the phone and just one electronic transfer and you finish pay the farmer. Now you tell the farmer, you make the qurbani, you pack the meat, and then you send the meat to me. So where is the spirit of qurbani? Qurbani, a person supposed to go, he must slaughter the animal himself. He must choose his qurbani animal, slaughter it himself, and if it is possible, then try and even skin and clean yourself also, the qurbani animal.
so much so that a woman that is able to slaughter herself, proper parda, etc., then the woman, she should come and slaughter herself. And if she can't slaughter herself, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that at least be present. The lady also should be present, but not where there's all men, etc. Yet here there should be parda, there should be seclusion. So the woman should come and she should be present when her animal is being slaughtered, if she cannot slaughter herself. Best is she also slaughters, but if she cannot, then at least be present. So today that is the reality of qurbani. To many places you find the advertising, qurbani, 200 rand, 300 rand, 400 rand a share. When people, when they investigated in those areas, they say, how can you buy an animal, how can you buy a share for that price? Some places they sell a qurbani animal one time to one person. Then they say that we'll sort it for you. Then they take the same animal to go sell it to another person. One animal they sell to 3-4 people. It's all our fault. We're supposed to be doing it ourselves. We're not doing it ourselves. So that is why we end up with all these problems. As the Shaykh ul-Hind rahmatullah, I mentioned the other day also, 1 year in advance. 1 year, the Shaykh ul-Hind rahmatullah is to buy his qurbani animal. Look after that qurbani animal. It is to walk with him to madrasa. When he comes back from madrasa, it follows him. And then just before qurbani, he is to feed the animal jalebi. Sweetmeat. What people buy, expensive sweetmeat, is to feed the qurbani animal. Imagine that attachment. And now you have to put that knife on that qurbani animal. That is true qurbani. Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq. We are saying this because we also don't have it. So Allah Ta'ala give us the reality. Then a person gets the true reward of qurbani, the wealth that a person has. Quran says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will never attain righteousness, piety, until you spend what you love. Now that animal, when you love, you slaughter that animal for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now imagine the reward by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So there must be life in that qurbani. Zakat also, it's not a matter of just writing one check or doing one EFT to certain organization, and you say, right, okay, my zakat is discharged. If they discharge your zakat correctly, zakat is discharged. Ask any Maulana, any Mufti Sahib, he'll tell you, no, zakat is done. But the actual discharging is, ni'mal amir ala babil faqir, the best wealthy person. He is at the door of the poor person. He goes there, he takes care of the needs of the poor person. بِئْسَ الْفَقِيرُ عَلَىٰ بَابِ الْأَمِيرِ. And the worst of the poor, that man that is standing at the door of the rich man. That he is asking the rich man. He's not supposed to ask him. Allah Ta'ala has given us our begging bowls. Ask from Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has given us salah, two rakat namaz. Ask Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala will provide for us. So, zakat also, we are not discharging zakat correctly. Zakat also has to be discharged correctly. Quran says that there are many people, يَحْسَبُهُمُ الْجَاهِلُ أَغْنِيَاءَ مِنَ التَّعَفُّفِ. A jahil person, that person that is ignorant, يَحْسَبُهُمُ will think that these people, they're wealthy. You see a person, he doesn't ask anyone. أَغْنِيَاءَ مِنَ التَّعَفُّفِ. They are wealthy because they don't ask anyone. They are in need, they're in problems, but they don't ask anyone for a single cent. Allah Ta'ala says, تَعْرِفُهُمْ بِسِيمَاهُمْ. You will recognize them by their signs. What their signs? That you'll find that there's humbleness in these people. They're going through hardship. And when a person goes through hardship, they become humble. One person, when he was given zakat, that person said, he said, really, these problems, they really make you humble. They bring you down to the ground. So Allah Ta'ala also says, تَعْرِفُهُمْ بِسِيمَاهُمْ. See the humbleness. What difficulty, how this person is making dua, turning to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. These are the people that are actually recipients that require that wealth. لا يسألون الناس إلحافا. They don't ask people persistently. Like sometimes when you're at the robot, at the traffic light, or you got off at the stalls, now you went inside. So the people that are there that are begging, how they persistent, they follow you all the time. Quran says these people, they don't even follow you, they don't even come behind you, but they're so much in need. So these are the people we should give zakat. And if zakat is discharged correctly, we give people the zakat who require the zakat, then perhaps there won't be any poor people in the world. But we're not discharging zakat correctly, that is why there's so much of poverty that is in the world. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has made it such that the share of the poor people, Allah Ta'ala has kept their share in the wealth of the wealthy people. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has kept the share of the blind man. The man that is blind, he can't see. Allah has kept his share of looking with that person that has got eyes. That the man that got eyes, you look after the blind man. He needs to cross the road, you cross him the road. He needs to wear his shoes, you help him to wear his shoes. So Allah has kept his share there. Allah has given, our Shaykh Hazrat explained that Allah Ta'ala has given every person two eyes. He says one eye to take care of your needs. And the other eye is to take care of the needs of other people. also, zakat also, that life in zakat, that we should go out, discharge our zakat to the poor people, ourselves, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala, so Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned this, and Hazrat Ziyad said, Ya Rasulullah, how will knowledge be taken away? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained it to him, that the Jews, the Christians, etc., they read the Torah, Injil, they also passed it on, but it didn't remain. Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala ke shagir kehte hai, maine dusre sahabi Hazrat Ubada radiallahu ta'ala se jaakar ye kissa sunaya. Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala, his student, he says, I went and I narrated this to another sahabi, Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala. Inhone farmaya ki Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala sach kehte hai. What he said, Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala is saying the truth. Aur main batau ki sabse pehle kya cheez dunya se uthegi? Should I not tell you what will be taken away first from this dunya? That knowledge is going to be taken away. What is going to be taken away first from dunya? Sabse pehle namaz ka khushu uth jayega. The first thing that will be taken away from dunya is khushu. Where a person is making salah, people will be performing salah, masajid will be full. But the connection of the heart, that's not going to be there. Person won't be connected to Allah Ta'ala. He said, khushu will be taken away. Tu dekhega ke bari masjid mein, ek shakht bhi khushu se namaz parne wala na hoga. That you see a masjid that is full, even one person is not performing salah with concentration. That's why when we make dua, ask Allah Ta'ala, Allah, give me a salah of khushu. Give me a salah of khudu. Allah, where my heart is also connected to you. My outside, my outward postures also are all in order. The masail of salah also are correct. I'm doing it according to the masail, performing salah according to the masail. Make dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. These are treasures that we should ask Allah ta'ala for. Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala, jo Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ke razdar kehlate. Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala was that person that knew the secrets of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The list of the munafiqeen, who the munafiqs are, that was by Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala. Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to go to him, ask him every now and then. He said, oh Huzaifa, that list that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave you of all the munafiqeen, tell me, is my name not in that list also? So Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala knew the secrets of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Wo bhi farmate hai ke sabse pehle namaz ka khushu uthaya jayega. He also says that the first thing that's going to be taken away is going to be concentration in salah. Concentration will be taken away from this ummah, and today we see it. We don't have to look at somebody else. We need to ask ourselves. When I perform salah, I must ask myself. When I perform salah, am I concentrating in my salah? Or how often is my mind on something else, and before I know it, Imam has already made salam. That meeting, I had opportunity to meet Allah Ta'ala. Person, he wants to meet the president. He has to go through so much problem, so much difficulty. That too, he's lucky if he gets to meet the president. Very hard to get to meet the president. But namaz, Allah is the king of kings. Allah called you to his house. He gave you the opportunity to meet him. And now when you got the opportunity to meet Allah Ta'ala for that 5 minutes, 7 minutes, that farz namaz, a person, he is worried about something else. He's thinking of something else. You got a golden opportunity. And a person, his mind is somewhere else. So this khushu, this is what is going to be taken away first. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, kisi ne pucha ke khushu kya cheez hai? Somebody asked Ali radiallahu ta'ala, what is this khushu? This concentration in salah, what is this? Farmaya ke khushu dil mein hota hai. Ali radiallahu ta'ala said that khushu, this is in the heart of a person. Khushu is in the heart of a person. Sometimes we misunderstand certain terms. For example, that sometimes a person, we say this is a proud person, but in reality he is a humble person. So many a times we misinterpret certain terminologies. Now a person that is, for example, a principal of an institute. So the principal of the institute, he has to be firm in his matters. Otherwise, how is he going to run the institute? He's not going to be able to run the institute. A person that's a boss in the shop. So if he is not firm and he doesn't get his work done, how is he going to run the shop? So now if he's firm in getting his work done, will we say he's a proud person? No, he's not a proud person. He may be a humble person. But he has to, because he's holding that position, that is why he has to be firm. That doesn't make him a proud person. So we misunderstand many terminologies. Our author explains, he says that the sheikh, that the position that the sheikh holds, he must have that high position. Why? If he doesn't hold that high position before his murid, then the murid are not going to respect him. And if the murid doesn't respect the sheikh, he shows humbleness all the time before the murid. Then the murid won't respect the sheikh. How are they going to take benefit from the sheikh? So he has to hold that position. If he says, I am nothing, so the murid will say, what am I coming here for? If you are nothing, why am I coming here? I'm coming to take something. I want to reform. I want to change my life. So the sheikh, he must hold position before his murid. That is why the dua of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we are taught, Allahumma ja'alni fi aini saghira wa fi a'yunin nasi kabira. Wallah, in my eyes, for me, make me small. So first in this dua, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave us the antidote that pride mustn't come inside me. I am nothing. I know what I am. I am absolutely useless. Mawlana Thami Rahmatullahi, one day two of his murids, they were his khulafa, and one was a mufti, one was an alim. So the alim, he always, when he would go and he would speak, etc., he would see that he used to regard himself, I'm the lowest from all the people. All these people that I'm addressing, I am the lowest among them. So he thought that maybe there's something wrong. Let me go to another mufti sahab, who's also a khalifa of Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi, and ask him that what's the solution to this? Am I on the right path or wrong path? So he went to him. So when he went to mufti sahab, he said that this is the problem that I have. I regard myself as useless. I am absolutely nothing. So the mufti sahab, he said that, let me tell you the truth. How you thinking? I also feel the same. I also feel that I am nothing. I got nothing in me. Today we have opposite. Allah Ta'ala save us. Everyone thinks I am something, and the next man is nothing. But they thought they are nothing. So they said, we got the same problem. Let's go to Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi. So then they went to Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi. So when they went there and they said, by Hazrat, Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi, such a great Shaykh. He was Mujaddid al Millat of his time. Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi wrote 1500 kitabs. 1500 kitabs Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi wrote. Every day, 60 letters used to come to Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi. People used to write their problems. 60 people's letters, he used to respond. Can we understand? What is the position? What was his position, Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi? He says that when I sit and have majlis, when I speak to my muridin, he says, I also feel the same, that I am absolutely nothing. That was Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi. So, Allahumma ja'alni fi ayni saghira. In my eyes, Allah, make me small. Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi was Faruqi. He was from the family of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he was Jalali. Yeah, he was like a hot-tempered person. Nobody can play with Umar radiallahu ta'ala. If Umar is walking on one side, Shaitan will run to the other side. That was Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. So Hazrat Umar, but Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi, he was also Faruqi. But Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi, who was a murid of Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi, he says that by Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi, the only thing we found was shafqat, kindness, love. That's the only thing we found by Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi. So Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi was very strict. He used to make Islam of his murid. He never left anyone. So he says that, but Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi says that whenever I made Islam, he said that number one, anyone that was not my murid, he was not my follower, I never made Islam of that person. Only those that were my murid, those that were my followers, I had position over them, I made Islam of those people. He says number two, when I made Islam, somebody did something wrong, I corrected that person. I would first regard him and think he is better than me. Only when, then I will make his Islam. Considering him to be a better person than me, then I will make his Islam. Not that I am better, that's why I am correcting him. No. He is better than me. But I have to make his Islam, I am making his Islam. Number three, Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi used to make dua, used to say, Ya Allah, you put me in this position. That I must make Islam, I must correct other people. Allah, you put me in this position. So Allah, I am reprimanding them, I am making Islam. Please don't take me to task on the day of Qiyamah. On the day of Qiyamah, don't take me to task for this. Like how I am correcting them, I'm taking them to task. Allah, you don't take me to task on the day of Qiyamah. And the fourth thing Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi to do after making the Islam is to make istighfar. Allah, forgive me. Allah, forgive me. Maybe I was too hard on a certain murid. Maybe I was too harsh to a certain person when I made the Islam. Allah, you forgive me. So this dua of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allahumma ja'alni fi ayni saghira. In my eyes, Allah, make me small. وَفِي أَعْيُنِ النَّاسِ كَبِيرًا. But in the eyes of people, make me big. Why? Because if they don't regard you as a senior, how are they going to benefit from you? If you don't regard your ustad as senior, how are you going to benefit from your ustad? If you don't regard your sheikh as senior, how are you going to benefit from your sheikh? You can't take benefit from him. So, great wisdom in every dua of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi says that when making this Islam, when you're correcting somebody, he says that never ever reprimand and make Islam when you are angry. When a person is angry, you got a student that is there. You shouldn't make Islam and you shouldn't reprimand him at the time when you're angry. Or, for example, the murid, the sheikh mustn't make Islam at the time when he is angry. At that time, he shouldn't make Islam. When he has calmed down, now make Islam. Now reprimand that student. Now make Islam of your murid. Why? He says, because when we are angry, one is we are angry. Now when you go to make Islam of that person, what's going to happen? Sometimes we become even more angry. And when we become even more angry, we now exceed the bounds. That student, we want to now reprimand him. But at that time, you're angry. So when you're angry now, you want to correct that student, you will now exceed the bounds. So So therefore, only when a person has calmed down, then at that time, a person should only make islah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq.